Welcome to the In Your Corner podcast. My name is Tony Douglas, and I'm here with my wife, Erica. And our mission is to help young, up-and-coming athletes reach their fullest potential on and off the field. As always, we truly appreciate you tuning in, and we hope you get something out of this episode.
Welcome back to the In Your Corner podcast. I'm Erica Douglas, and I'm here with my husband, Tony. And today, I'm going to let him just kind of get on a soapbox here. And talk about what is the most important thing in sports or for an athlete. Or why don't you elaborate that on that, babe?
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about focusing on what is most important. Because, you know, and this can go down a lot of different roads and paths. But today we're gonna talk about sports in general and athletes, because that's what the main part of our podcast is. But are we focusing on the most important thing, or are we getting sidetracked by some of these things that we think?
Right. Well, both of us working with athletes for as long as we have, we get the question a lot from both the athlete and the parent. Like, well, what can I do
to get better?
It's like everybody is looking for the secret sauce, or like I like to think about it. You have this 100-piece puzzle and everybody feels like they have a missing piece or two or three, and so they're just looking for those extra pieces, because if they find those pieces, then
problem solved.
But what you're saying is it's like we've isolated it too much. We've compartmentalized this idea of being an athlete and sport too much.
Yeah, so we'll start this discussion off with our son Sean, and really Brooklyn too, our daughter Brooklyn. It's a really cool way to think about this, because we have four kids, and two of our kids learn to ride a bike one way, and two of our kids learn to ride a bike a different way. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a little science experiment inside of our own house. So our sons Marcus and TJ learned to ride a bike the same way we learned how to ride a bike, which was with training wheels. Mm-hmm. And so that tells you how long training wheels have been around, at least
30 years.
At least 30 to 40 years. We're not 40, but at least that long, right? And that's how we've been teaching and learning how to ride a bike. And when TJ and Marcus learned how to ride a bike, they had training wheels on. And when it was time to take the training wheels off, I'll let you answer this question, Erica. Were they able to ride a bike?
No, and our younger son actually had a little bit more gusto.
Sure.
So. And he rode it before our older son did, because, you know, TJ's a little bit more timid. And it makes me think of, like, I remember, like, it's one of our favorite family stories to share, when I started riding a bike, and so did my best friend, who was my neighbor. And we, like, ran into each other and fell off and started yelling at each other. But if you think about when you started learning to ride a bike and you took those training wheels off, you fell all the time, because it was like all of a sudden you're trying to relearn how to...
You're having to relearn how to ride a bike when you take the training
wheels off. Right, because it was easy. It was super easy with the training wheels. Like, our kids had no problem with that.
Yeah, because the training wheels didn't teach you the most important thing about riding a bike. Really, when you put training wheels on a bike, the only thing that you're working on is steering and pedaling. Mm-hmm. Because the steering wheels give you the most important thing. They give you the balance.
You mean the training wheels?
What did I say?
The steering wheels.
Oh, yes. The training wheels, they're filling that gap of what the most important thing is, which is the balance. And so with Brooklyn and Sean, we used what's called a Strider bike. And this is a newer type of bike. It's a little bike. It has no pedals on it. You don't use training wheels or anything. And what the kid does is they use their feet, you know, until they can lift their feet up, and then they just work on the balance. Mm-hmm. And
they use their little feet, and they like skipper scamper, and they run, and then they lift them up,
and they just roll.
Just kind of fly down the driveway.
And they just roll. And what they're doing is, the Strider bike, whoever made the Strider bike, the geniuses, looked at bikes and they said, okay, why are we teaching our kids how to ride a bike not showing them the most important thing, which is balance? And, you know, our Brooklyn and Sean, they're learning how to ride a bike so much quicker and mm-hmm. so much younger, because as soon as they're, you know, as soon as we see them on the Strider bike, put their feet up and they just roll down the road for a while, they're basically ready, because pedaling is mm-hmm. not hard and steering isn't hard. And technically they're working on the steering on the Strider bike too. Mm-hmm. And so it just really...
Yeah, our oldest was... TJ was...
Older.
Six, right? Like, I feel like he was in kindergarten when he got it.
At least, yeah.
But that's when he got the training wheels. You know, but Brooklyn was riding a bike without training wheels at age 3.
Yeah. Because you know, she'd use a Strider bike.
Yeah, she caught on to that whole concept so much quicker.
And it's just crazy to think that for... You know, it's probably been 50, 60, 70 years that we've been training kids how to ride a bike with training wheels, mm-hmm. which does not teach them the number one thing about riding a bike. And it's crazy to think about that. But, you know, I think in the future, I remember you see a dad pushing behind, you know, it's kind of nostalgic. You see mm-hmm. the dad behind the kid, and then they push the kid, and the kid finally gets it. Like, I think those days are almost going to be over, because the Strider bike has eliminated that. Like, mm-hmm. the kid already knows how to balance. They already know how to ride a bike. And so it just, when I thought through that, it made me really think, okay, this same concept can be applied to anything. Are we focused on the most important thing, or are we focusing on the accessories? Are we focusing on pedaling and steering when that doesn't solve our problem? And I think in sports today, That's our biggest problem. We want to. It feels so good to focus on some of these skills. It feels so good to be a part of this team and get to kind of claim that. And you're focusing on the wrong things. You're not focused on what is. You need to dissect. Okay, if I'm playing a sport, what is the most important thing to that? Mm-hmm. And if you haven't thought about that, I want to get your mind thinking about that. And for me, when I look at the pro level, when I look at the Division I, Division II, Division III level, and the athletes that are getting there, I mean, I think what I just said describes it most importantly. They're athletes, mm-hmm. right? The most skilled person, you can get to a certain level, but if you don't have the athletic base, then you can basically forget about it. You're going to be limited.
So let's give it like context. So say you're a volleyball player. Okay, so how am I thinking about this and understanding what's my balance? Like what's my most important thing as a volleyball player?
So what you can do is look at the great volleyball players, right? And what is something that sets them apart? For me, if I go to a volleyball game and I don't know much about volleyball and I see some of the great outside hitters, I mean, it also depends on your position, mm-hmm. but they're quick. They can jump high, right? Like whenever I'm on Instagram or YouTube and I'm watching like the U.S. the U.S. volleyball team or some of these high level teams, the hitters are jumping so high mm-hmm. that spiking the ball isn't that difficult, right? Yet, I think a lot of volleyball players, when they're working on their, if they want to be an outside hitter, what are they working on? They're just practicing hitting.
Yeah.
Right? I think to me, that's pedaling on a bike.
Yeah.
Okay? If you could jump 4 to 5 inches higher, hitting gets a lot easier. But you got to think, have you ever worked on your jumping, your athleticism, you know, your explosiveness? And I honestly, I think there's a lot of volleyball players that spend 2 to 3 hours working on hitting and working on passing, and it's like working on the wrong thing.
Right.
Not saying that that's a bad thing. You have to know how to hit. Mm-hmm. You have to know how to pedal mm-hmm. on a bike. But is it the most important thing? And
well, I think sometimes we look at things that are easy. Like I know as a coach, right? It is easy to have a practice, have a session on a specific skill. Like, oh, we're just going to work on hitting, or we're going to do 30 minutes of hitting, then we're going to do 40 minutes of passing. And, you know, like that's easy to compartmentalize. It's easy to give like 3 tips on how to do that. And it feels very controllable. And we don't ever like to be in a place where we're uncomfortable, where we feel like, out of control. And I know for me, as an athlete and even as an adult, like if I can distract myself, you know, I can occupy myself with this little thing over here because this major thing seems
impossible,
scary, it seems impossible, and I don't know how to crack it. So I'm just gonna major in the minor over here. And I think that's a big part of it. I think, like, going back to volleyball, it is a game of momentum and it is a game of energy. And it's like, it's always next play, next play, next play, because, you know, it's constantly changing. And I almost think even more than like your skill as a hitter or your skill as a jumper is like, are you completely invested in the whole aspect in the process of the game? Because lots of times you'll see a kid who's supposed to be a really good hitter, and then they have a bad hit, and then they just spiral downward because the one thing they were supposed to be good at they screwed up on, and then they can't get back in the game. And so that's why I think when you major in the minors, you actually set yourself up, it's a more detriment, because then you don't give yourself credit for what's really important and what you're really good at and why you're really in the game in the first place.
Yeah. And I mean, volleyball is a great example, I think, you know, even with like a setter. What are they called?
A setter.
Okay. Isn't there one that's got
like a libero or whatever in the back?
Ooh, I think you messed that up, but I'm going to go with it.
The one that wears a different color shirt.
Is it a libero?
Libero.
Okay. If you play volleyball, comment or send us a message of what that person's called, because I don't think
it's
called...
You were just at a volleyball game.
Yeah, I don't think it's called that. But imagine if they can get to the spot quicker, mm-hmm. right? They're going to look like a better setter, or they're going to look like they're getting every ball, and they're going to be like, man, that person's really skilled. It's like, no, they're just really quick, because mm-hmm. they worked on their quickness over just passing over and over again and getting to those balls. So I think people have to start thinking a little bit differently, because, you know, once you start finding out what are those major things, we can get those things better, and the minors kind of take care of themselves.
Right. It reminds me of, we maybe have shared this story here before, but we heard this research study on soccer players, and this one team, you know, it was like a youth program that, you know, they had kids from, you know, young kids, and they kind of took them all the way up through high school, and they were really skilled and really good, and they really preached to their players, you have to hit it with your left foot as much as you hit it with your right foot. And this international guy came in, and he was just, you know, astounding and amazing, and just, you know, he just had this fun aspect to him. And somebody counted the number of times he hit it with his left compared to the number of times he hit it with his right. And out of 100, he hit it with his right foot 98 times. And so it was kind of like the left or the right foot was a minor, but his whole athleticism, his whole ability to see the game, the fun he was having in it, that was
unique. Even.
Yeah, that was unique, and that was what set him apart.
Right.
You know, and then you can always work on your left foot to your right foot ratio, but
yeah,
you know, how many people are working what he had?
Yeah, and I think the other part of it is you can sometimes, you know, because it's not like on a bike that you don't, it's not that you aren't going to pedal. Pedaling is still an important piece. It just can't happen before the balance, right? So I think that's the other key part of this is don't put the minors before the major, because let's talk about basketball, right? You got a kid that has only worked on like dribbling and passing and shooting, mm-hmm. right? But they don't know how to move. So, you know, like you could bring a kid that's just way more athletic. He's quicker. He can jump higher. Is that kid that worked on dribbling and passing and shooting going to ever be able to get a shot off, be able to really make a good pass? Or even if he's really good at dribbling, if I'm a little bit quicker, I don't care how good you are at dribbling, I'm going to steal the ball from you.
Right.
So you have to put the majors before the minors as well, because the fact of the matter is pedaling is a lot easier when I have a lot more control over my body, when I know it better. Mm-hmm. You know, you see these kids come down and just dunk on somebody, and it's like, that kid's a great basketball player. It's like, no, that kid can really jump. So the game's a lot easier for him. You spent all this time, not that we don't need to practice layups, and you know, we need mm-hmm. to have our fundamentals down. But I think before that, we need to know how to use the tool that we have, which is our body. Mm-hmm. We need to know how to jump. We need to know how to run. We need to know how to move. We need to be quick. Those things are going to get you so much further ahead than, you know, being good at these minor things. And, you know, everyone's going to advocate for what they do.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. You have to make that decision for yourself right. after really thinking through it.
Listening to you say that makes me think of, I remember sitting with my dad at a state track meet, and he was watching some high schooler hurdler, and he goes, oh, you know, like that kid I'm interested in recruiting. And I watched him and I was like, really? Because his form was horrible. It was like almost laughable. And my dad was saying what you were saying, like, I can teach the form,
yeah.
you know, but like, he's athletic. He, you know, he's like got the core of what you're saying. He was like, I can teach the form. I can teach the minor stuff. So how does someone listening here, other than kind of taking inventory of the time they're spending on certain aspects of their game, of their sport, how do they just become an overall better athlete? Because that's what you're saying, right? Yep. You're saying the number one thing is you just want to focus on
the majors.
The major, which is your athleticism, your body control, your ability to run, jump.
It's kind of new to think this way, mm-hmm. first off, right? I mean, we talked about the Strider bike is pretty new. And I think it starts with belief and thinking through, you know, because I don't think we had the Strider bike because no one was thinking that you can train balance, right? It wasn't a belief. Mm-hmm. And now we're like, oh, yeah, that's not only can you train it, it's the most important thing. So I think first off, you have to think about, what am I trying to accomplish? What am I trying to be a good basketball player? Am I trying to be a good volleyball player? Am I trying to be a good soccer player? Whatever your sport is. So first off, you have to know, what am I even trying to accomplish here? You know, and then mm-hmm. once you do that, I think the next step is, okay, so what is the most important piece of that? Is it passing? Mm. You know, is it... I mean, think about a soccer goalie, right? Are you working on skills, or are you trying to move quicker laterally? Because I think that's probably going to go, you know, are you a soccer goalie that can't touch the top bar and yet you're focused on your hands?
Yeah. Or how quick is your reaction?
Yeah. Are you working on your reaction time, right? So some of these things that, you know, you have to first off know where you're going. And then secondly, you have to know, what's the most important piece of that?
Right, because if you're like a sprinter and you're spending most of your time squatting in the weight room, is that a direct correlation to making you faster?
Right, and that's this thing that's been, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard
that. It's just one piece of the puzzle. It's just a minor
thing. It's a minor, yeah. Yes. You know, because I'll get, you know, and you don't know what you don't know,
yeah.
Right? And it's just like training wheels. We use them until something new comes along, a new idea, a new concept. But I'll get these kids, and I almost feel bad sometimes, because a parent will tell me, like, he works so hard in the weight room, and then I'll have them sprint, and I'm just like, they don't know how to run, you know? And so is the most important thing having a whole bunch of strength? And it's actually hindering you when you don't know the right foot placement. You don't know how you should even be running. And now we're even stronger in these bad positions. So now we got a higher rate of injury. Now we've got, you're have more frustration because you're stronger in these bad positions. So it's just, once again, it's getting back to the major, mm-hmm. you know, do I know how to run first off? Because I can't be fast if I don't know how to run, mm-hmm. but we have to believe that there is something bigger than I just naturally know how to run and I'm just bad at running. So it all boils down to belief. But you got to take inventory. You got to know where you're going. And then you have to start allocating time to the majors instead of the minors. So, you know, you have to look at how much time am I spending on this? And is, you know, kids are so busy nowadays. They're doing AAU practice. They're doing AAU sports. They're doing team practice. They're doing team sports. They're doing private sessions. They're doing all these things. So you have to take inventory of, okay, is this a major? Is this a minor? And if it is a major, how much time am I spending on it? And am I allocating too much time to these minor things that are not going to get me to my end goal? And am I using too much energy and too much resources? Because now I'm doing that. I've spent all my day pedaling and steering, and I've only got this small little amount of time working on balance. And this kid over here, he's purely working on balance, and I'm watching him, and I'm just like, holy cow, you know? Yeah. Like, our son TJ is a great example of that. He's never done a private soccer lesson. He's never played on a top level, you know, soccer team. But every time he's on the soccer field, every time, you know, he's at a game, parents are always are like, man, he's a really good soccer player. It's like, no, he's just a good athlete.
Yeah.
He's just faster than everybody else. Yeah. He's quicker than everybody else. And it's the same with our son Marcus. You know, I look at these guys and I'm just like, we get people asking us all the time about them, and it's just like, the sports piece is not going to be an issue for them. You know, getting them skill work and all that is not going to be a problem, because they already know how to jump, they know how to run, they know how to move. And to us, that's the major, and that's where we put not just a little bit of the focus, we're putting all the focus on that, and we're going to see how it plays out.
No pressure, kids.
Yeah.
But for me, when I hear you say that, I think what it comes down to is remembering why you started playing in the first place. Because we all play sports because at the core level for all of us, it's fun, right? We're good at it. We enjoy it. It makes us feel good about ourselves. And I think when you start to lose this fun, this enjoyment is an indicator that we are spending too much time on minor things. Because that's where I think you can take the inventory and realize, am I too stressed out? Am I not enjoying this? Is this not fun? Because that is a great indicator that you're not focused on what's most important.
Yeah.
Right? And the most important thing is playing the game and knowing, understanding why you play the game, and just getting back to that. If there were no coaches around, if there was nobody there to tell you what to do, where would you start? What would you do? How would you play?
Yes. And that's a warning to us parents as well, because you know, there's times where things can get out of control. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of pressure nowadays to be part of this and that and this and that. And what's the purpose? Because if our kid doesn't love it, and you as an athlete, if you don't love it and you're not having fun doing it, forget about it. You know, it's easy to say that you will continue on, but I'm telling you, you won't do the extra little things. You won't do the extra work that it's going to require. You're not going to go, you know, you're going to lose belief, and it's just not going to work out. So you got to focus on the major, the most important things, which is a great point.
Yeah. And I think ultimately it's you taking inventory for yourself, you know? So hopefully after you've listened to this podcast, this episode, and you're kind of reflecting on it yourself, that you take that inventory. We'd love to hear what is the most important thing to you? What is the thing that the minor you've been wasting, not wasting, but you've been allocating too much time to, and you need to kind of, dissect it and put some of that energy and that time back on the major thing. We'd love to know what your inventory looks like. So anything else, babe?
That's it.
All right. That was good.
So, we love feedback, and if you could give us a rating, whether you're on Spotify, I don't even know if you can rate on Spotify, whether you're on iTunes, or if you're seeing this on Facebook or Instagram, we love feedback. We'd love to hear what you want us to talk about. And so any comments, likes, shares, we greatly appreciate it because we want this information to be out there. So we will see you next time. So until then.
This is Erica and Tony, and we're in your corner.